to Egypt now, where leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood are being charged with inciting violence after the military ousted the Islamist president, Mohamed Morsi. But members of the media are also facing pressure. The BBC's Andrew Hoskin reports from Cairo.
Behind me is the River Nile, and across a very busy road, there is a huge brown concrete, rather ugly building. In front, I can see three armoured personnel carriers, manned by a platoon of rather bored-looking soldiers, and in front of the main access, there are swirls of barbed wire. The heavy security is not for a barracks, a police station, or a presidential palace. This, believe it or not, is the headquarters of Egypt's state broadcaster.
The army took control of the TV studios within hours of toppling President Morsi. The generals then moved swiftly to block the transmissions of four other TV stations. Outside the offices in Cairo of the main journalists' union, the Journalists' Syndicate, the name of Ahmed Assem is called out. Journalists have been protesting about the death of Assem, a 26-year-old press photographer, and one of more than 50 people who died in the violence earlier this week outside the Cairo Officers' Club. Mustafa Kateb is a journalist on the Freedom and Justice newspaper, the official voice of the Muslim Brotherhood. He claims Assem's death is symbolic of a determined repression by state security forces of media freedom.
About 3 months ago, I was deliberately targeted by thugs like this, and I was injured, and I stayed in hospital for 3 days and at home for 2 weeks because they knew that I am affiliated to Freedom and Justice newspaper. So people around the world do not know about what's happening to us. The battle is now very clear between the people who were advocating the ideas and values of 25th January Revolution ideas and morals, and those who are corrupt and related to the old regime.
The media detainees in recent days have included international television crews and 28 employees of one broadcaster said to have infuriated the army and security services more than any other, Al Jazeera. Astonishingly, Egyptian journalists have also participated in the harassment of officially unpopular colleagues.
At an army press conference this week, an Al Jazeera reporter was ejected by his peers while chanting, "out, out," and then applauding when he'd gone. Al Jazeera has been accused of being an open supporter of the Muslim Brotherhood until last week, Egypt's ruling political force. The broadcaster denies being biased in favour of the brothers. Ayman Gabala, the head of Al Jazeera in Egypt, was among the 28 arrested when the police raided the broadcaster's offices. After his release, he flew to the station's HQ in Qatar. I spoke to him over the internet.
Some people are working to the side of the government. The school of journalism, of neutrality and objective, is not pretty known. There's a campaign, a systematic campaign to intimidate the free media so that you either get intimidated and change your message, or at least they make people don't trust you and don't tune to you. It's a sort of the McCarthy period in the West.
Human rights activists here in Egypt have voiced their concerns over the last week or so of alleged human rights abuses, including arbitrary arrests and the torture of detainees. They say they're also worried about media freedom, one of the great goals of the February 2011 revolution.
Diana El-Tahawi is from Amnesty International.
Independent media and journalists who are critical have found themselves under attack. They are judicially harassed. They are sometimes violently attacked. We hope that there's no return to this today, and particularly as the Constitutional Declaration does set limitation to the freedom of expression and the freedom of press. And for instance, it doesn't prohibit the criminalization of libel or defamation, which has been a tool used by successive governments in Egypt.
The security services have invoked the issue of national security for the action taken against the media in the last week, preventing journalists using their public platforms to incite violence. Some journalists have even protested in favour of the army and its chief of staff, General Al-Sisi. But Mohamed Abdul Qudus, a journalists' union leader, believes they're misguided.
The evidence of the bias of the media is the biggest massacre that ever happened in any protest in Egypt. More than 50 people killed in a matter of 2 hours. And yet, look at the media. They are all giving excuses to the army. No one is even questioning the army why they killed people, more than 50 people. So that gives you an idea how is media working these days. That's why right after the massacres, I personally wrote and called Sisi Egypt's Bashar al-Assad.
It's clear that Egypt's new interim rulers, and the army in particular, worry very much about how they're perceived, not just in Egypt, but by the US and the rest of the international community. Media freedom is an important weather vane for the country's fragile democracy. And there's no doubt there are risks for the new regime in silencing troublesome voices.
The BBC's Andrew Hoskin reporting there from Cairo.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Diedrichs, with outdoor furniture, dinnerware, and home accessories selected for form, function, and feeling for your home. DIDRIKS.com. And the Damore McKim School of Business at Northeastern University. Experiential learning, entrepreneurship, industry collaboration. Damore-McKim.northeastern.edu.